And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 160.
160.
Yeah. It sounds dirty, but it's not. Hey.
Okay.
I am, hey, welcome. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. Today is another great episode. Samantha is back.
Yay!
I know you've missed her the last couple of weeks. And Samantha wasn't the same without you.
Thank you.
It was a little less less black.
Yeah. Just sad. That. Mm-hmm.
Sad right there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you definitely don't want to hear it was exactly the same.
It was exactly the same. Yeah.
You know, it's got to be better or worse.
Yeah. Well, it's glad to have you back. It's nice. It's comforting. It's like a,
yeah.
It's warm. It's a warm feeling because I don't know how long you'll be gone from me.
Oh my gosh. Let's not talk
all
sad.
I am sad. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, don't say that. I am going to survive.
I know you're going to survive.
Oh my God. I'm gonna figure it out. Oh yeah, that's what I do.
We'll have a coo, a little cooing during the show occasionally. Yeah. I have to stop swearing though. Hey, today on the show we have a rising comedian from Seattle, Washington area. Well, not from here, but he's based out of there right now. Sam Ellefson. He's originally from Minnesota. But he's out here now performing comedy for the masses in the Pacific Northwest. Samantha and I were both on a I met him on a show with Samantha, actually. It was a competition. That's when I first met
him. Okay, yeah, because I know you. I just couldn't remember from what show.
Yeah, that little brewery thing where we had to roast people before
that was,
it started.
Yeah. It was like in, not Enum Claw, but like around that area, I think. Like
not Enum Claw, no.
Yeah.
I don't know, it felt like it.
You have a good memory. I feel like I'm terrible with, not terrible, but I feel like so often I'll be like, oh, I know you from where?
Well, it's the only show I've done with him, so that's how I remember. It's the only show I've done with Sam.
Yeah, well.
So that's why I remember. And I'm like, oh, he's interesting. He's clean. He's a clean comedian. There's not many around here.
He washes his hands when he goes to the bathroom. It don't matter how far the sink is, you guys. He got it done.
Pre-pandemic, he was a clean person. Oh my God. Hey, this episode we do talk a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about what we're doing after, how we're going to approach comedy. It's a big comedy episode. We talk about philosophies and language in comedy. Different than some of our past ones.
Yeah.
About the edge. This is more about specifically about material you choose and why in that pattern.
And who's the dirtiest?
Who's the dirtiest? Oh, yeah. Who's the dirtiest? You be the judge. You be the judge, folks. Is it Silas? No, I don't think so. No, it's not Sam. Anyway, you be the judge. Vote
yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
and then we talked a little about some language differences from around the country. It was a good talk. It was a good time. It flew by. Absolutely flew
yeah,
by.
Yeah, we even learned a little bit about keeping your house well lit.
Yeah.
So there's some homeowner tips in here too.
You know, we bring it all.
That's right. Speaking of homeowners.
Today's episode is brought to you by one of our a sister podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. Yes, listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast to learn about the home buying process and get connected to real estate agents all across the country, hosted by myself, Silas Lindenstein of Boutique Brokerage. It's also brought to you by
Beyond Technique. Yet another podcast for you guys to enjoy. This one focuses even more on performance. I've got a wide range of people coming on to talk about their experiences. So yeah, Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Rund, on YouTube for viewing or across other platforms. And then, of course, if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills so you can communicate with more of your whole self, voice, body, mind connection,
performers and non-performers alike. You can always message me and see if that's a good fit over at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And hey, if you're enjoying the show, please go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review and a comment, like an actual write something. Be nice. Helps us in the ratings. And then, of course, if you want to be a big supporter of the show, you can go to patreon.com/black and a half and become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. And, you know, for little as a dollar a month, or you can step it up a little and become an Inner Circle member, like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel, be them. I mean, be yourself, but also be them. And, yeah, help support the show and keep it going. And there's that. That's all. That's all we got for you. I mean, we have the show, too. That's coming up. So open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 160, Sam Elefson.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
And prosper. Instead of Hutchinson, Minnesota. That's wild to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure even smaller towns, that's true.
Yeah, wherever you are, yeah, there's some every little podunk, like you can be a podunk town, like really, you just need to find two other people, right? Three other people. You can start a band. Just play for yourselves. You play for the backyard. Pay for people's birthdays, whatever. Then you can go like drive 60 minutes to go to a real town with a bar, a big bar.
Yeah, we in Hutch. What was it called? Zella's. Zella's was like a fancier dinner place, so they wouldn't have like grunge bands play, but they'd have like local musicians come, and some of them would have like small bands that they were in and play at that venue. There's no comedy. There was no art to my understanding, but recently I visited back and like on every corner now, there's just like a strange art piece that they've commissioned. And I don't think they're all Hutchinson artists, but they're trying to make art happen, which is cool. But, it's very funny where they wind up placing these pieces around town.
Hutchinson, that's where you're from?
Yeah.
Then I think, okay. Indiana?
No, Minnesota.
Minnesota. You don't have an accent.
I did. Oh, did? I lost did you? It.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did that happen to me from Boston.
Oh, like, that's a thick one.
Outside of Boston. So I had been bi-coastal a lot, but certainly if when I go to Boston and I'm around my mother, or if I'm around my mother,
pick it right back up.
The accent starts slipping in, and there's just some words that still stay there that my wife will make fun of me when I occasionally say something. But I got into theater and I knew you had to kill that right away. Yeah. So I had a voice class that was like, oh, I just have a little accent. I can kill that. Cause I would be in California every summer. So it was more slang that I had
interesting.
Like wicked. Like out there, wicked. It's wicked.
Yeah, cute. I know like the stereotype. That's like people actually say wicked.
Oh yeah. Well, they did. I don't know if they still do.
But wicked's like, not. That's what everyone always said.
Oh, yeah, we said wicked all the time. And then going to the people meeting kids my same age and saying like, oh, wicked smart, and they look at me like, what the fuck did you just say? So peer pressure kills some slang pretty quick. And if you're, I don't know, if you lack self-confidence, I guess.
For sure. Maybe. And I think whatever region I'm in, like I have to be careful if I go to a place that I don't start mimicking the person that I'm talking to. Like, I'll just start doing it. It's not meant to be offensive, but it'll just like, the South is really bad because I'll do just like a Southern accent jokingly, like around the house a lot.
Yeah.
There are a few words like, bag, roof there. I don't know if those sound weird to you when I'm saying them, but Kaylee will be like, what'd you say? And that's my wife. And making her people. Yeah.
What did you say? What the hell is that? Roof?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roof? Like that's a dog?
A what?
A dog? Like the, like, oh. That's what she will say instead of, or rough. Which one sounds more like a dog? Roof or rough?
Rough.
Rough? Okay. Never mind then. I guess I've got the.
Well, no. Oh, you know what? Now I'm like thinking of this. Like, I wonder if it's roof. Well, I'm wondering, I bet that is a local thing. Like a regional thing.
Yeah.
I bet if you're in Norway, they have a different,
it's probably
say?
Close to Minnesotan because I mean, that's this, it's a similar accent really, that if you've got a Norwegian accent, it kind of blends right in. In the West though, it's funny. Everyone will be like, oh, we don't have an accent, but there's like a very like Valley Girl twang, like just on the end of different words. Do you know what I'm talking about? Since you're not from here, where they kind of like, E out it on the end of words.
I'm trying to think of somebody from here. Wait, they kind of like, they just don't finish the sentence like full.
No, like, I mean, an exaggeration would be like when people go like, knock it off. Like that kind of like, stop yeah. it. Like that little bit of the Valley Girl twang, not like
okay, yeah.
Valley Girl impression, but just like on the end of sentences in certain words, they elongate it.
Yeah. No. That's a good. Yeah. It's funny because I think that's one of the disadvantages I've had of traveling, being a traveler is yeah. that, okay, she's almost here. Being a travel, I think sometimes I didn't realize it because my travels were so subtle. Like it was just me, spending summers in California, and then you know mm-hmm. we'd come up here for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I would meet people and really not think so much, except like if words were different. Like words were the ones that were like, "What the hell are you talking about?" That's.
Mm-hmm.
So Massachusetts has some words.
What are their words?
So one, the big one that gets people is bubbla.
Is that like water fountain?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, it's a bubbla. The bubbla.
Thanks to the internet, I know that one. Yeah. I think I've seen some memes about.
Well, actually, no. This does not. I worked at a grocery store. So for me, a carriage was a very common word.
So
a carriage,
like
carriages.
I don't think I know. Are you referencing like a vehicle or like the grocery cart? I had no idea what you're referencing. I was waiting for the
grocery cart.
You called a carriage.
A grocery cart is a carriage. That's just what it's called. That is what it's called. I knew nothing. I don't think I even knew grocery carts existed as a thing. Until I was in Massachusetts and they started calling them carriages and they heard carriage and I didn't know that it wasn't, everybody didn't call them carriages.
Yeah. I've always associated that with like a horse drawn
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. I mean, if you said the word, this is a carriage, like it seems, I mean, it's carrying things. I don't know. Yeah.
The carriage. Oh, and we welcome Samantha now. We're rolling.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
There's some usable stuff in there, Sam, so I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. No, good. Yeah, just as I was getting my setup almost totally done, then the troubleshooting came in, so I'm like, oh, thank goodness. That was exciting.
You know, technology is awful as much as it is wonderful, I think.
Yeah, you know.
We don't know. Did you learn something, Samantha? That's the important thing. Do you think you learned?
Yes, I did learn something.
Wait, are you at your normal setup?
Yes, that's what I was saying. Like right as I was getting my makeshift, let's make it happen set up, the other one fortunately was able to be.
Wait, did it just start or did you like suddenly have a brain?
Oh, no, storm? No. I got a phone call from the one who knows.
Oh, okay.
They find, yeah, from the one who knows. The one who knows.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Voldemort. Excuse me. I had an electrical outage.
That's right. You did.
So I have, Sam, we're talking, when you're from Minnesota, but does Minnesota have old homes?
Oh, maybe. Like, that name doesn't ring a bell, but maybe we have them by a different name.
No, old. Just old. Not, that's
like
not
old houses? I thought you were like old homes, you know? No, like is it a retirement home? No. I don't know. Do
you know, it's like another thing for carriage, you know? Aged, switching it up.
Aged homes. You
know? Like just old, houses that are old.
Yeah. Do you have those there? Are they?
Yeah. Not so much. Less there were like heritage houses in my town where like, I mean, they literally, it's like log cabins they've preserved.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Head down to the McLeod County Museum where you can see silverware, and they actually have a horse-drawn carriage at the museum, Silas. You might enjoy it.
I am fascinated by how old some things are here, and I would like to check them out, especially because like wood. The big problem with the United States, why we don't have a lot of old stuff, is because of wood being used, and so it decomposes. Where mm-hmm. in Europe, a lot was built out of stone, so it lasts.
Oh.
So that's why they have the age stuff. Because they ran out of wood. Because, I mean, it's true, right?
But also, weren't they building things there earlier? Like things to stay?
Yeah, because they ran out of wood.
No, I mean like... Like they had things being built there before.
Oh yeah,
the colonies and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Stonehenge wasn't wood, and that was like before all the other stuff. So I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, some of those places, I just don't think they didn't have. I don't know if they had forests there.
In my head, old Europe is just all forest. Like it was completely forest until people came and just started chopping things down.
I mean. Scarily, that's a lot of the world, right? Is that there should be this was all forest until we showed up and just destroyed it. Except I
we're
mean,
like we're like nature's termites.
We are nature. We're the termites of the earth.
That's right.
Okay, so my home is like a 1950s home, right? And then it got remodeled, like ish. Had some remodeling done, but like when like a circuit goes. What goes out is just mind-boggling because first we just thought suddenly the light above us went out just in the dining room. But I'm looking and like, well, the refrigerator's still on and there's lights over there. We see my Echo is still going. That's fine. It's right there. And then we realize, oh, wait, the overhead lights in the kitchen are off. Oh, okay, that's weird. That's it. Microwave's still on. Everything's still going. And then later on, like an hour later, we walk in the other room to go to the bathroom. Oh, the bathroom light's off. Like, what? This is a different... There's lights on in between this. Like, I just don't... When people, like, decide to rewire, what they decide is going to go on one circuit is maddening. So we had to call somebody in. I would have taken more time with it if it wasn't the damn bathroom that was dark.
Right.
Because I'm like,
you don't want to do a candle.
Got little kids, you know, so you want them to see themselves showering. We don't have great light from the outside in the bathroom. That's one, cause it's like in the middle of the house.
No, your shower's not by some bay windows for the neighbors.
I feel like a lot of people's homes, though, their bathroom is like on an outside wall, right?
I rarely have had a window in my bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. But I have to say, it's really nice when there is one. I mean, a frosted glass or something sort of.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's nice to be able to open a window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're, so I had to call in. So it ended up just one of the fixtures broke, right? I was afraid. Of course, I don't know about you guys, but when something blows automatically, I'm like, we're going to have to replace the whole goddamn thing, right?
See, I was curious how long it took you to figure out that that's what it was and it wasn't just a light bulb that went out. Like, how long did
because every time I flicked the switch, it popped. Like, the breakers popped.
Oh.
So I was like, oh. And there was a loud noise when it first started. So I was like, oh, that probably blew something. So let me go check. Oh, yeah. Because our sub panel is right in our den. So I didn't have to, like, go. It was easiest to check there. So it ended up being costly more than I wanted because calling an electrician out, right, for stuff that I could have just taken my time and figured out if it was just like one, if it was just like just that light. I'm like, ah, I YouTube this for a week. Anyway, so that's my gripe with technology. Except while they were here, I got a deal. So I got them to put an outlet on my outside of my house.
Because
I didn't have one. So
that's nice.
Now we're going to be, Samantha, next time you come over, we're going to have, we'll have those bulb lights hanging over
our pergola. That was the first thing that came to mind. I was going to say, are you going to get some of those outdoor bulb lights?
Damn
outdoor,
right. Yeah. You know me. We're insane. Yeah, that, except those, outdoor. Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, here, I'll pull it up. We just have.
Thanks.
Our apartment doesn't have like an overhead for the living room, so we just strung bulb lights around.
Oh, nice. I got some of those for the balcony. I was all excited about it. And they were on sale too, so it was like double excitement, only to realize we don't actually have a freaking outlet out on the balcony. So it's like, yeah, whatever. Save it for the next place,
Sam,
whatever that is.
You just might have changed my life. We don't have a light on our overhead either. I was like, that's a wonderful idea. Just hang some.
Yeah, do some string lights. You can kind of do it tastefully. Lights. We kind of haphazardly did it. Every once in a while, one of the command hooks will break and then it'll just rain.
I think command hooks are one of the most magical things in the world. I can't believe. Sure. I don't understand how they work. Like, my wife puts them all up.
You command them to.
Yeah, I just think she like, I think she uses some Harry Potter spells and then it stays there for a while.
Well, Silas, we were talking about Hutchinson. The 3M plant that I think makes some of them is in Little Hutchinson, Minnesota, because 3M's, I think, a Minnesota company. So you have us to thank for that.
You know, there's a lot of stuff in Minnesota that comes from Minnesota.
Like,
what is it? What is it? The sitting at, like, the weather? They're like, we got to invent things here?
For 9 months out of the year, you might as well invent something. You know, it's like now, like how people are trying to create things while they're stuck indoors, or maybe not, because, you know, there's a pandemic and it's scary.
Yeah.
But I mean, Target's headquartered there. General Mills is there. There's just random stuff comes out.
Do you get cheap General Mills products? And you go, is there like discount cereal?
Like, they're like, not in Hutchinson. I mean, you got to take all these random highways. They're not gonna give us a deal over here.
Yeah, it's just like how all Seattleites get all those Microsoft discounts and.
Well, we do.
You know, we get all those
user
it's Starbucks called discounts.
User surveys. You've never done those?
I don't know what that is.
I don't think I've done it. Uh-uh.
You guys, okay, you got to go sign up. If you do these user surveys. Like, let's say, like, let's start off with video games, right? They wanted people's feedback on video games, like general public. So you go in, so they do a user study, and you come in, you play the game, and you give them feedback. And they're like, okay, well, have a piece of software. Pick from the list. And they do that for, like, any programs, like Office. Anyone, if you use a Microsoft product regularly, sign up for these. Sir, like, go to their usability studies, and they'll eventually call you and they'll ask to see how much, because they need so many people of like 5 years experience, 2 years experience, 1 year. So they find out how much you use it, and sometimes they'll call you in. I spent like, there was a year I just kept doing them, and I kept getting all this free software for my computer, and I was always like, most expensive thing, I'll take Office, thank you, the whole Office packet plus. Copies of Windows. I was
that
just,
explains why the last time I was over, you just had the box set up and display next to Star Wars stuff, just on display, not untouched.
It's
just
not. It's
just your
serious
trophies.
I'm looking at all my products right now that I got. But I see a free
people
games that
who
way
don't
too
know I'm being sarcastic are going to be so ill informed.
Well,
right,
people
now
who know me are like,
like, oh, go to Seattle. You're going to just get a discount just for being.
Oh, you
there
can. No, you can. It's great. But do you eat Franz Bread's products?
Yes. Yeah.
Because they have outlet stores here.
That you I feel can like go I've get. Never heard of them.
Franz? Well, you probably don't notice. Like, I don't think it took me forever until someone mentioned it that I worked with, that it was local. And I think they mentioned the outlet stores, how I knew. So if you go the next time you're at the grocery store, just look at the breads and you'll see one is called Franz.
Oh, with
that's,
the Z?
That's a local. Yeah, that's local. Oh, and they have like outlet stores for like when they bake extra, whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, I had friends in college who would go to one and they'd get like a loaf of bread for a buck. And like they do that kind of stuff.
So outlet stores are wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to the outlets and like get jeans where like the zipper's in the wrong spot? That kind of thing.
No, that sounds fun though. What kind of outlets have those? I've heard that outlets the Gap does.
Yeah.
I've gone to the outlet and gotten clothes that actually just worked properly.
Well, because you wanted to use them. Is that what you're saying?
Practically full price then. I want off brand. I want like off made. It's a little like one leg is a little bigger than the other. It's awesome. They used to be better. I think outlets.
He goes there for chaps. Okay, let's just.
Outlet stores used to literally be just for like errors, like there were misprints or whatever. And then they started realizing people were going there to get these discounts. And they just started sending their regular stuff there and maybe a little, maybe 10% off or something. But outlet stores are just way different now than they were in like the 90s. The 90s, they were wonderful. They were just like everyone's odd. Like you'd have the logo was upside down or something. Like it just came and the batch was wrong. So they sent it to the outlet store. Right.
I would like that. I've heard that the outlets, maybe not everybody does this, or maybe I'm going to ruin the outlets for people, is that they literally will make products that are worse and send them to the outlets. So like if you're going to like trying to get really big name brand durable stuff, it's not actually the thing that you're getting. You're getting like a slightly worse version they make specifically for the outlets.
I wouldn't be surprised. Do you know they do that? That's what Black Friday's become?
Ugh.
The TVs?
No.
The $100 TVs you get or whatever? Yeah. Usually they make them specifically for Black Friday. They are cheaper.
Wow.
And sometimes that's why you got to look like they'll have one HDMI port.
You know, like, so something like. Don't get your birth control on a Black Friday.
Don't get Black Friday birth control. No, no.
You don't want 10% off birth control.
No. No, I want extra. I pay extra. I want to know what's going to work.
So yeah,
But Sam, you were someone I wanted to have on. You were surprised I wanted to have you on a little bit. You seem surprised.
Yeah, I was like, who me? Little old me?
Little old you. But, you know, you're one of the few, you're a clean comic, right? And you like.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
You kind of like, I've seen you sort of bill yourself or be like, no, I'm clean. I that's what I do. Like. Is it because you're from Minnesota? Is it what is it's wrong in this? Okay, in this cesspool of comedy, right? There's like I used to be considered a clean comic.
I was gonna say Silas because you and I are both extremely filthy comedy.
I think yours is dirtier than mine.
It is, and it's not even that dirty, but it's mine, dirtier than yours.
Samantha, mine was clean, really clean when I first started because I wanted to work right away. So I was like, now I learned. Pretty fast that you need to be clean. So I was killing jokes that I couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. And then, but even like already being a dad starting, there's just things I'm like, I don't want to, my daughter's going to hear this at some point. I don't want to, it's already enough things about her mother that she's going to hear one day, that, she's going to learn things, but, so I was already like, for me, it was like, I'd hear the open mics. I'm like, don't talk about that. Why do you, what is it for you?
I feel like it's a couple of layers. I was raised by parents who would like not let us swear in any sense of the word. Like if my mom swore, she would deny that she ever did. Like if it's for the moment, the first time. I ever heard her swear, the car didn't start and the check engine light came on and she swore and we're all like, and then we bring it up later and she's like, I didn't, I said a different word. Like I said, shoot or something. Like it wasn't, that's not what I said. So they deny. And so I just didn't grow up around it. And I think it's, I like the accessibility of not swearing.
Uh-huh.
I had people who would come to me and be like, wow, you're getting laughs and you're not even being dirty. And I think it made me feel like, yeah, I'm getting laughs and not even being dirty. But I did a talk show at my college and I was just garbage at writing jokes. I'd never done it before. I don't know if this is the real reason, but I think it's always in the back of my mind. We had the vagina monologues at our school and okay. I made just terrible vagina puns as part uh-huh. of the monologue jokes. And I remember someone in my family was like, Sam, I can't believe you would do that. Like we tuned in, we wanted a nice show and you made vagina jokes. And So I think it's kind of a little bit of dancing around, but I'm over that now. And I think I will swear, but it just, when I swear around my friends, they're like, whoa, like that was weird. It's weird to hit, like, I'll say fuck. And they'll be like, whoa, that's like, you don't say that ever. Like what the heck? So I think it's just truer to me not to swear. Yeah. So it's not like I'm lying or pretending to be. It's just, I am a naive Minnesota boy. So that's what I present myself as.
Mine was a lie. I definitely swore a lot more. I think it was like, for me, it was almost like just being around kids. I was like, so I was used to like, okay, I can't swear in this realm, or I just can't talk about things in this, like around kids. And so, okay, I'm doing a show. It's the same thing. It's just another place. There's another set of rules, what I can't say. And then sometimes I, you know, start being inappropriate. Not usually with the kids around. It's like, you know what I think it is? It's like when I make, you know, making a joke with my wife, like a little like, you know, like hanky panky kind of stuff. But like you're trying to say it with the kids around, but they don't know what you're talking about, but we do. Like that's what yeah. I think of, like I like doing with the audiences. That's what's fun. For me, it's really fun to be talking about these taboo topics, but with making mm-hmm. it as clean as possible, because they know everyone's enjoying the fact that you're not saying it.
Yeah.
You're skating around it. And that's the fun part of it. Cause then once you say it, then it's all right. We got there. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. I also feel that there's a, like I will talk about sex and I'll talk about taboo things, but almost from a way of like, I didn't know what was going on. Or here's like, I don't like get into the dirty nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
I grew up just so naive. I mean, my parents didn't even give me a sex talk. Like I had none of that. And then I think now I would be, we'll see after the pandemic, as I start to perform and things, maybe I'm more willing to talk about those things as like I develop as a person and my routine mm-hmm. does as well. But I talk about stuff and I'd be like, this was kind of like, I kind of did this and have comics still be like, that was so clean. And I'm like, I mean, I talked about sex. I said yeah. the word, you know, the word period. I said shit, but I say it in a way that's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just, part of it I think is just looking as bland as I do when I like, I don't know. And I'm so young compared to other comedians that I think I just have an innocence about me when I'm performing that I lean into.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. Like some of the best bits that I've had in the past were, they were kind of talking about sex, but it was just, you know, I think we use metaphors are what makes the comedy anyway. Right. Yeah. We're using metaphors and similes all the time. So then to use them about these topics, it's just really, it's even funnier. Do mm-hmm. not say it. I don't know. Samantha, when did you get so filthy as a comic?
I don't know what you're talking about. My set's not that filthy. Or my
you
sets.
Are
it's
the
not
dirtiest
like I have
comic
that you've ever
Seattle.
Heard. That's, yeah, right?
Are you the dirtiest comic in this podcast, right?
No. I mean, I guess, but I'm not even dirty.
Do you think about, is that a conscious thing? Do you write Do you ever write something, it's kind of, I'm Samantha.
But yes, I do it just like that. If you were, if you're listening and you didn't see what he's doing there, the impression is just adorable.
It's spitting image. People will not know if it wasn't for the name. They would not know which one.
Glorious was talking. Glorious.
Yeah.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Thank you, Silas. I've missed you these last 2 weeks. I wasn't able to podcast. I honestly, it's kind of mostly like what Sam is saying in terms of just like more true to me. Like I didn't, it wasn't the same how we grew up, but I don't swear much in my life, in my normal life. I swear more now than I used to, but I still don't swear much. And when I was growing up, I didn't swear at all. And I honestly, part of it is just like, it's not really my, I don't like crass humor anyway. Like there are some dirty things that are considered dirty jokes I'll laugh at if the joke is funny enough for me, but I don't really care for the shock value dirty stuff because that just doesn't appeal to me generally. But I guess everybody's thresholds are different for what they consider like really gross or not.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is I think it can be a crutch because it's a shock value. People will laugh for shock value, you know? So part of it is like, I don't want to tell that joke unless if there's really like, it's like, is this really something I need to say? Is this really like, what's the point of this joke? And maybe sometimes it's like, okay, that's just funny, but it's not really my thing. I do have a couple of jokes though that like you could probably consider dirty or like I wouldn't want to say around, like I would tell my family like, hey, this was a joke, prepare yourself for it. But it's mostly because they all act like, even my nieces act like I'm the youngest one in the family. It's like, oh my gosh, it was so funny you said that. It's like, Auntie Samantha said that. And you know, and they'll just laugh, but you know,
I think it's ironic that you say you don't swear in real life much. Because
not that
then,
much.
Then when we did the film recently, you added in so many F-bombs.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, there was no fucks in it.
Wait, did I actually add some
in? You added like 30 at the end. You took out my blasphemy. You cut my blasphemy that I wrote.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then you added 8 fucks.
Did I?
Yeah.
I might have.
It was hilarious to me. I was like, my character,
that's what I was saying. Like, I do swear. I do swear sometimes, you guys. But that is one thing that I do not like to do is
blaspheme.
Say, if somebody says God and a swear word or some sort after it, I'm just like, don't do it. I don't like, I'm glad that I haven't had to play a character that does that. So I will try to get out of it.
Really?
Or I'll like cross my fingers or something. Like or I'll apologize afterwards to God. I just can't like, and my fiance, if he says, God, you know, dang it. He doesn't say dang it. He'll say it. And I'll say, what'd you say?
That's my adjective for like everything.
Oh
like,
yeah. No. Mm. I just, there's.
That was, you're brought up that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not religious anymore, but I used to go to church a lot when I was a kid. And there are just certain things like I don't want said in the house. Like you can say the F-bomb before you say like certain things that I learned about in Catholic school. You know, well, not Catholic school, but when I, I didn't go to Catholic school. I was Catholic for like the first 8 years of my life. So, I mean, some of that was just like in the psyche.
What's funny, my family in Massachusetts was so, there were so many people that were kind of religious, right? They, like everyone there says GD all the time.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, that's,
I mean,
just like they also say retarded all the time.
But it's
too.
Different.
But, like,
oh my gosh. It's different for everybody. That's the thing, is like, even the word God, like, it doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. I mean, you could be at the same church service with somebody going every however many hours you go and have totally different ideas. I remember sitting next to this boy in high school, and I wasn't Catholic at the time. I was going to a different church, but he was like, oh, you should just be Catholic, because he was trying to talk me into something, and he was so cute. But he was like,
want to come hang out with the Catholic Church?
That's what it was. And he was just like, oh, it's too bad you're not Catholic anymore, because all you have to do is just apologize and then everything's forgiven. Oh. And I was just like, that's not how it works.
Catholics have to do work. Like, they get assignments.
Well, yeah. I was like, okay, you asked for forgiveness, but that's not, I'm like, that's not, you're just I on a technicality. Anything. I'm like, stop looking at me.
Huh? I like I can do anything I want. I just ask for forgiveness. After.
It's a superpower.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Anyway, so that's.
I love. Okay,
the thing.
Sam, have you gotten to do any road shows yet? Do you go do road shows?
Yeah, I've done shows kind of all around. I've only had one where like they put me on at a hotel and stuff. That was down in Grants Pass, so it was not. I didn't feel like I
Regency. Regency Inn. No, that's a different. No, that's not Grants Pass. Okay,
I don't think I'm gonna remember the name of it for sure. No. Though.
Okay, so the funniest part to me is going on the road and where they're like, we don't do blue. We do clean comedy, which isn't the reality when you go to a lot of the places. And I remember going to like Idaho, and I was like, so what? There's a show in Nampa, and I asked, what can I say? And they said, no God. No GDs. No F words. But you can say like shit or... I mean, you can make any gay or Mexican jokes you want. That was funny.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay, good. As long as I can make fun of gay people.
Thank goodness.
I won't say GD.
That was my whole set. You saved me. That was...
And then I went up there and talked about that, how I was allowed to. I can't swear, but they said I can make any gay jokes.
I mean, isn't that crazy? That's like the television, man. The stuff that they show on TV, it's crazy. And they won't, like, let you say a swear word. And they'll show you doing God knows what with your body.
I find it fascinating that... So men can just walk around without shirts on and it's fine. And it's on TV all the time. And there's no problem. And then a woman can't. But then when you get into some... But then, like, in the... cable television or late night, you absolutely cannot show a woman down, right, frontal, but they will let occasionally a guy, like one, like if it's a fast move, you're like, whoa, like Ricky Schroeder moved around fast and his penis was like on for like quarter of a second. They allowed
it was on and then it just like popped just off.
Whoa, fast. Like how's like men can show, but then like if it's cable, like women all full frontal, no problem. But still men, they're like, no, not, you can't show the whole penis, not for a full shot, right? Can't be like a full second. Like how they just get weird about, but I was like, I don't understand.
If they're out at the same time,
no,
I think what
never.
The fear is procreation.
Yeah.
No.
Cannot show them both in the same shot for sure.
Oh man.
That is how most babies are made today, is on movie sets because they don't
Yeah, because they go and they stock up on that Black Friday contraception, you know?
That's
they
right.
gotta cut corners so they have more money for craft.
They head to the outlet malls for all their gear.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah.
God. I can't even. Yeah, I don't know. I love this part of comedy. I love the what can you say and what can't you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel that as I get older, I will be able to do more things that I can't do now, depending on the audience. Like if they're an older audience, they don't want to see a 24-year-old talking about stuff. You know, like some people have that vibe and I don't. Like if I come up and I try to be dirty and I try to do that, like I've tried jokes that were less than clean. And they wouldn't work as well because people, they don't want to hear it from me. They want to hear it.
I'll disagree. I think it's you were uncomfortable.
Oh,
they do not want to hear it from a 60-year-old man. Like, I remember Brad Upton talking about that because he's like, he got mad because we were sent down to do a new show and I got put as the host and the, some other guy was the feature. And he's like, should have been switched. Like, he thought I should have been featuring for him because he knew mm-hmm. what I would do, which would be fine. Because it was the guy who put the feature was like a 60-year-old guy, 60, 65, and doing blowjob jokes. And Brad was like, no crowd wants to hear a blowjob joke from an old man. They should be for younger people. You know, maybe not that the people are sicko and imagine it, but if they do imagine it a second, they're like, ooh, oh yeah, a little. Oh, 20-year-old.
I don't know if I ever want to hear man. One of those jokes.
Right, but an old, but it just grosses everyone out when it's an old person.
Well, I feel like
it's not funny. It's just
I think
gross.
It depends on how the joke is told. I think there's an angle that people could get away with saying it at any age. Yeah. But it's just like, what is the actual joke going to be?
If it's funny, it's funny. Is that kind of what you're saying? Like,
I don't like is when people just. Well, exactly. But like, it's like
the older you are, it better be a lot more funny.
I think it needs to be funny when you're young, too, because you know what I don't like is when people get up there and they just are like, they don't have a sex therapist. So they just want to tell me about their encounters. It's like, I don't want to know. I don't need to know this.
Every open like, mic ever.
Where's the joke?
I generally.
Yeah, like, if people are like working out material, I'm like, okay, like you're working out material. But if they're like, this is my joke and they're just up there like reading.
If your set
diary.
Ends with crying, you did something wrong. That's,
wait, what'd you say?
If your set ends with the person crying as they like are talking about what they're going through, they did something wrong. That's not
good.
Fluids. When fluids enter the picture, that's where I'm like, no. I get really sensitive now about that because I've done several shows that were at restaurants. And then having to tell people, could you just not?
Well, yeah, there's certain things you just don't want to talk about when people are eating.
I don't know when the common sense comes in, Samantha. Like, I couldn't believe the number of people that would just think like, oh, I'm going to do a 5-minute joke about pooping while people are eating a Salisbury steak.
No, you got to save that for the chocolate mousse.
It's mm-hmm. just...
mm-hmm. Well, if that's all they've got, though, Alex, I mean, if you've only got 5 minutes that you feel really good in, you got to do the 5 minutes in front of the restaurant. Right. You don't have it.
I just don't. And then I would start emailing everyone after. Okay, can you please? Everyone's eating, so if you could just choose material that's not, you know, better. And then this woman came in and she did a placenta joke. Like, and I'm like, no.
Hey, some people eat that.
I know.
It's a thing.
I think it's part of the joke.
Yeah, maybe I should check the menu and see if it's on the menu first.
Yeah.
If placenta's on the menu.
I was just like, what? Fucking why? Why? Guys, you're killing me. I'm trying to put this comedy show together that I'm paying you all for. And I just have, can you just not be gross? Just don't be gross. I don't care if you, I didn't put any language restrictions on. I just said, please don't be gross.
Well, and so that is the thing is, everybody's definition of gross. There's some people, though. I mean, you know,
common sense.
But that's what the thing is. It's not common sense.
Oh,
it seems common sense to us because we're in agreement.
We're professionals.
You know, we're in agreement. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the thing is, anyone who actually is still doing comedy now, from then, who does do roads work. Every single person, I can go back and look at the bookings and go, oh, everyone still working from 7 years ago knew what I meant.
Well, you know them, so.
Huh?
Yeah, you know if they knew what gross was.
Right, no, but I'm saying like, but all the people who didn't seem to understand the line are no longer doing comedy.
I see what you're saying. I gotcha.
So, I mean, I think that's a reason that we... You see the same people booked all the time for some shows. That's why. Because you can trust them.
Yeah. And also, just to throw this out there, am I putting anybody on the spot by talking about the vaccines? Because the reason I'm bringing that up is to say who's going to be doing some, trying to be doing some comedy once you're vaxxed? Or have you been doing any since?
You know, it's not... for me, it's not just about me being vaxxed. I need the audience to be, mostly. I need to feel like most of them there are. Because I can still carry it. I mean, it's just like me wearing a mask. It's not about me. I'm not
Well, that's true. But I mean, like, if you were doing an indoor show and people are socially distanced with masks on, and you only take off your mask to do your set, and you'll be 6 feet away from everybody, would you do that?
All those safety measures are to decrease the chances.
True.
So I just don't feel, until I feel like a good percentage that I'm going to go in there and they're all not only masked, but they're also mostly probably vaccinated, I don't feel safe. Because I just think about my kids. Because that's
The
danger is now that I bring it to my kids,
right?
And my wife's coworker has an 11-year-old nephew that's in the ICU right now with COVID because they did a sleepover.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what happens to kids? Kids have asthma. Well, I don't know. You know, my kids are 5 and 3, 14. Pre-existing conditions. We don't know if they have them yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to know if they have them till much older in life.
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because when you come home in your household, you will be unmasked around people who aren't vaccinated.
I mean, yeah. Think about when your little one's born, right? Zero immune system from you. You're giving them their entire immune system, right? Mm-hmm. So like you don't even let people over with colds.
No.
Like even in a good time, you don't bring them to crowds or whatnot, right?
Right. No,
so now that thing's going to be exacerbated a bit. I don't know. We're around less people. Everyone's going to get less sick everyone's less sick now. Once we go back, everyone's going to catch up. There's going to be a lot of people sick. Mm. I will say that. My kids haven't been sick. Oh, I've been sick once in a year. And they're sick like before that. They were sick every month. So they got a lot of catching up of bugs to do. But I think I need them vaccinated. So I'm kind of thinking probably not till August is when I'll feel okay. I mean, I got the, now I'm like, oh, I got the, hey, I've got some jokes. Could I go out there? And then I just do, and then I think about it a little more and I'm like, I can't go yet.
That makes sense. No, you got good
reason. I hate outdoor comedy, so.
Oh, I don't.
You don't?
Oh, no.
God, I hate it so much.
I don't know if I've experienced outdoor comedy up here in Seattle, though. I'm trying to think.
Oh, in L.A.?
Yeah. Well, there were some outdoor shows that were fun. But see, like, my thinking is, like, that's kind of why I want to go. Maybe I can go next Wednesday or something. I want to go because on Monday it'll be 2 weeks for me from the second dose. And I kind of want to go out a bit a couple of months I'm not going to be going out.
Well, for you, yeah, you're not going to.
Yeah, so anyway.
Sam, have you been going out or what do you do?
I did one set I guess I've done two. I kind of wanted to just see if shows, how it felt, like if it felt safe. I'm lucky where I have just one other person in my house and like we talk about it beforehand. And then we're vaccinated now. So we got the Johnson & Johnson. So we've got our 2 weeks after that.
Oh, cool. Just blood clots now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just blood clots we got to worry about. Well, I don't. She does.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
Kaylee, I told her, I was like, well, I don't know if you should be too worried because like birth control has a higher, you know, percentage of blood clots. And she's like, how does that make me feel better? I have some shows coming up in May. It's hard because I'm like, the government says it's okay. Like the government has said you can do this. And then at what point, like, and they're the ones who said that we couldn't. So I don't know. I think if it feels unsafe, maybe I'll stop. But I'm vaccinated. I hope the people coming to shows are vaccinated.
In Tacoma?
Well, no, Tacoma, there's nothing happening because they rolled it back and they might even roll back again. Oh, they could be two phases.
Well, it's because they're not fucking vaccinated. They're not doing anything.
All the shows I'm doing are like in the counties around. I didn't have anything coming up in Tacoma. So
did I guess, and I think the thing is that I want people, because vaccination doesn't stop you from getting it. It tempers, it's so that you don't get hospitalized, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it weaker. You do still carry it for a little bit. The odds of you catching it are a lot less. The best thing I read was actually comparing it to flea treatments for dogs, like for pets. So you can still get fleas, but they die real fast. Right?
Mm.
So it's like COVID. You can still get it. It just won't last in your body very long. And it's probably going to die before it does anything to you. So, yeah, your odds of catching it are a lot less. So there's a lot of things that are good and safe in place. And it's just not a... I'm still not going to hug people. That's what's bugged me, is I've seen a lot of pictures of comedians that I don't think were even vaccinated yet, but things opened up and they're hugging.
I'll see.
Going like, hey. Yeah. And I'm like, well, no,
The hugging with no masks on drives me crazy.
I'm like,
if I see people hugging with masks, like, I don't.
Yeah, that
really,
that's fine. But
just go wash your hands and stuff.
The
afterwards.
Hugging with, and I'll say, hypocrite. Am I a hypocrite? Maybe, because I did a show, or not a show, but I was on set for.
Yeah, but you guys all got tested.
But we all got tested, even though technically, you know, we weren't quarantined beforehand. But I did feel like everything was being done in such a safe manner that I felt okay. Mm-hmm. Before COVID, I don't think most comedians washed their hands. So.
Yeah, because most comedians are men. Y'all are nasty.
They are nasty. If just go to the,
you know how hard
underground
those sinks. All right, it's difficult, and if until they make that more convenient, then
well, you have to go from the urinal all the way over to the sink, and
well, in the sensor, you got to hit it just right. You know, I don't know. It's hard. It should be easier to wash your hands.
Samantha, do you know the setup of the men's bathroom at the Comedy Underground?
Always. I always inspect the men's restroom to know whether
or
not it's safe for me to stay in an establishment.
Have you heard about the setup in there?
No idea.
Here's the thing that to note, never shake any man's hand at the Comedy Underground. The location is you first have the urinals and the toilets, and at the very far end are the sinks, right? So you don't, a lot of men have to be reminded on their way out of a bathroom to wash their hands, right? With the sinks there. In Comedy Underground, they're not reminded. So they pee and then they leave.
Disgusting.
Yes, because they have to make an extra effort to go back to wash their hands. And I know there's a lot of men who say they don't need to wash their hands if they pee, because they didn't get urine on it. I take notes, and I don't shake their hands either. Mm-mm. Yeah, but that's like, that's the grossest thing about Comedy Underground to me, is like when I go in there, I'm like, oh, this is disgusting.
It's not a pretty bathroom. Like, you go in and it's not like you feel dirty just being inside of it. Like, I feel like even if you didn't use the bathroom, you'd want to wash your hands. But then again, that's a situation where it's like, am I getting my hands cleaner or dirtier?
It really does remind, it makes you make sure you don't forget that you're in Pioneer Square.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, even inside, it's just a little dirty. Who's that?
Our dog.
Is that you? Whoa.
Yes, it's me.
In the room?
Is she saying woof or rough?
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh.
How do you say it,
Samantha? Oh, hey, I was recording with the door open because I didn't want my cat to, like,
scratch at the door.
My cat, he is such a mama's boy. And so usually during our recording at some point, he'll scratch at the door and cry for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
So does
Mike.
So
I just left
Mike,
the door open today. Yeah, they both do.
They're both there. and blames the cat. And blames the cat. Oh, it was the cat. It was the cat. I was lonely. I was fine.
Oh, man. Wait, how sweet.
Samantha.
Yeah.
do dogs say R-O-O-F or R-U-F-F?
Rough. Wait. Huh? R-U-F-F. Rough. They don't say roof.
Roof. Yeah, when Samantha says it that way, I agree fully. How do you say like the thing on top of a building? Do you say roof? You say roof?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I sometimes say roof. Yeah, on the roof. I think maybe that's what I say, Silas. On I don't roof. Know. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was earlier. This is like a callback right before he came in. We're just gonna say, I don't. And now I want to find out.
I say above the carriage.
I want to know what other countries, if dogs say the same thing.
Bow wow.
Bow wow. Bow wow.
I saw the cringiest thing at my apartment complex. There was a guy, just like a middle-aged dude, and a kid wanted to pet a German Shepherd. And just in the most American accent possible was telling him nine.
Oh no.
Trying to teach his German Shepherd German. And he clearly didn't know how to say the words right. And the little kid was like, what are you saying? He's like, that is German for no. And I was like,
oh my
dude,
gosh.
Just teach your dog English. It's there's no DNA from Germany in that animal, I assure you.
It's a German. Oh, that's hilarious.
We feed it German pancakes.
German chocolate cake.
Well, that would kill him for sure.
True. Solve two problems. No, I'm just kidding. It'd be terrible.
So German chocolate dog. Cake from the famous coconuts of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get named that? What do coconuts have to do?
Nine.
I know nine and scheitzen. Those are the two words I know.
Sam.
What was the second one?
Scheitzen? It's shit in German.
That's what I thought. I was
I learned it.
Swear?
That's a long swear.
The Call of Duty games, like World War, like the original ones that you'd play, they would always yell that when you like write like... There's a specific scene. One is going to the bathroom, and you're like sneaking up on them, and you pop out, and they'll go Scheitzen. That's how I know that word.
I love swearing. I love when they swear in other languages and videos and stuff. So that,
which I've sworn more on this podcast than I think I have in like the last 2 weeks. We just referenced dirty so much time.
Yeah, man, isn't it wonderful? Just let it out. Let it out.
Sam, the first time people come on our show, we have 7 questions that we like to ask them. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. So I'm going to ask you these. They're the first thing that come to your mind. Is you don't have to put a lot of thought into these 7 of them. There's no wrong answer, right? Number one, what are you most nerdy about?
At this point, I feel like it's not even nerdy. It's made its way so much into pop culture, but I was really into Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, all of that kind of stuff. Pokemon, I like Leaf Green version. I think I would just have my Game Boy on 24/7. It'd be in my pocket. It'd be wherever. And I pull it out and play it as much as I could. All of that stuff. I love to just sit and read like Wikipedia and I love just learning more about the universes of my favorite shows, and Star Wars and Lord of the Rings have pretty expanded ones. Star Wars recently changed completely. I wasn't bitter about it at all, but that's my nerd coming out.
I think it's a fair, it is. Star Wars may be more main. I mean, it's always been mainstream blockbusters, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's certainly plenty of people that have watched. Most of America watches and enjoys it without reading the fan fiction
or
the novelizations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfectly fine that there's a level.
Have you seen the Ewok movie? That's how you know if you're a nerd or if you're a fan.
Have you seen the Ewok cartoon series? That's,
I've only heard the intro. It's haunting. The Ewoks.
It's on Disney Plus now. So
it is. That's how I saw it.
Okay.
Face right now is you just blinked so many times. I wasn't sure if it was in Judgment or.
I was just trying to stay awake.
Number two. What's something that you love to eat?
I'm a big hamburger person. Just like the classic like American food, like hamburgers, pizza. I used to hate all kinds of vegetables and everything, but my palate has started to grow as I've gotten older. So I've been able to branch out into more foods. But I grew up in a town. I've said Hutchinson several times, very small. It's in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota. And we didn't have any sort of food from any other countries until I was in high school, I think. And I never even made it to that restaurant. So I just grew up with bland American food. And so I love hamburgers. Tacoma's got a bunch of great hamburger stands that I frequent. So
hamburger stands. I love that. Just right there.
Have you been to California?
Have you
had In-N-Out?
I haven't had In-N-Out. I have not. Are you an In-N-Out fan?
I enjoy it. I know the first time I went to In-N-Out, they were like freaking out. People I was with at the time were freaking out. Like, I can't believe you never had it. I can't believe it. I was like, oh, shut up. I've had it. I mean, I didn't say that, but I was just, I was just thinking, I'm like, why are you freaking out right now? Like, I've had a hamburger before. But I have to tell you, as far as like fast food or quick burgers go, I was like, okay, yeah, I see what the hype is about. It'd be nice if they had it up here.
Have you done Burgerville?
I have never heard of it.
Oh, I think it's Portland based, and they do all natural fruit. All their products, they claim at least, are from local farms and stuff. And it, like, for a fast food burger, like, doesn't feel like it's rotting your insides while while you're digesting it. I think it's really good. So if you want to place, I think that's kind of like Oregon's version of In-N-Out.
Burgerville.
Where it's like the regional thing.
Okay. I need to remember that. Burgerville for whenever I get to Oregon again. Burgerville. Mm-hmm.
There's one in Chehalis. How do you say it? Chehalis, whatever that is.
I think it's Chehalis. Close. Yeah.
Close enough. Number three. What's something that you love to drink?
I'm going to go with the classic Coke. A few things popped into my head, and that's what the pause was. To me, nothing beats after, like, if you've been doing something where you've been sweating and it's a hot day and you get that ice bottle Coke and you drink it, especially with like a hamburger or a Mexican food. I think it can't be beat.
Oh man, you're going to make Silas is a... Silas, how are you doing? How's your Coke variety just doing finished. Right now?
I love Coca-Cola.
So I've never heard someone say it was so much.
I have not had a soda in a couple years now. I love Coca-Cola so much. And that's why I can't have one. Because I can't have one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have three. It was just, I love Coca-Cola. And you describing that, like, oh, like, yeah.
I know.
Oh my God. Yes. Your so face. Sweaty.
I had no idea that you were Coke sober.
It's all right. There's a bottle of Dr. Pepper in the other room that just sits there waiting for guests.
Oh my gosh.
I'm clean of 2 years sobriety from soda.
I worked at a movie theater in high school, so I used to drink soda left and right. We'd get free soda during our shifts. We'd have giant cups that we'd fill up and drink out of.
I'd be dead.
And after that, I was like, I need to cut it down. So now it's like a treat. Like, I'll have it like maybe once a month, I'll have a soda. And, it, you know, I'm able to taper off. Or if you just get it when you go to eat, because then, you know, you have to pay for each one.
I just don't have it in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I used to, when the first time I quit drinking soda years ago, 6 years ago, then when I slowly would, one of my allowances that I ended up allowing back in after a while was, if I'm having like a mixed drink, that's okay. Mm-hmm. A rum and Coke is fine because that's just a mixed drink. But then it was like, oh, I'm out of rum. I just put a little Coke in it. Like, I don't want to drink. I want to keep drinking. Or yeah, I'd be like, oh, I can't have any more drinks. I guess I'll just, well, I already had Coke in it. Let me just put a little more Coke in it and let's be fine. My problem wasn't the rum. It was the fucking soda. Okay.
That's funny.
All right. Number four, what kind of music do you like? Do you love? What kind of music do you love?
I love James Taylor, which is, I think, a more specific answer than you may have been expecting for that question. Growing up, used to have, I had night terrors. Like, my parents legitimately considered having me exercised because my night terrors were so violent. So I'm a very vivid dreamer. And when I would wake up, Silas is, I think you both are recalling from the whole exorcism thing.
Like,
call a pope. They considered it. They said, could he be possessed? Was a thought they had. After I didn't have night terrors anymore, I still have very vivid dreams, and I would wake up with nightmares, and if I would go straight back to sleep, the nightmare would just continue.
Oof.
So I would play James Taylor after waking up, and for whatever reason, I would have a new dream after that.
Wow.
So I through that kind of developed in a sense, you know, like nostalgia anytime I heard it. I don't think so.
You should write him a letter.
Maybe I will. I've seen him live once. My wife was also a big James Taylor fan, and that was like, wow, you're 20 years old and like James Taylor. Let's go out for food. But we went to a James Taylor concert, and he opened with Gone to Carolina in my mind, and it took like 10 seconds, and I was just bawling. I was like, you've done so much for me. And I'm here. Yeah, he doesn't know. So maybe I will have to write him. He's getting up there now.
This clip, man, we need to send it to him.
Yeah.
A letter is great. A letter's good. But him experiencing you tell the story, even better.
You're right.
Look, yeah, I'm just relieved that you didn't pick the Ewok soundtrack as your favorite music.
I made that sound and you were like, I'm over it already. Like, I never...
No, the Ewoks are cute.
I think it's funny. Like, whatever age he is, like, he's a brilliant singer, musician. So I'm not surprised people young would like, it reminds me of like when I, my girlfriend in college, like I had a few, but I remember one that was and like we went to the store and found out that she also loved green mint chocolate chip ice cream. And I was like, holy shit, this is like destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe who else.
Of people.
I know. Yeah. No. But the college love was like, oh my god, we're meant for each other. We both Star Trek and green mint chocolate ice cream. That's
those two things alone.
Else? Right. What are the odds?
Yeah.
When we went to the concert, the guy taking tickets actually was like, oh, sorry, guys, that you had to wait in line. The high school graduation's at the building. He says to us.
Was there really one, or was he just joking?
Yeah, there actually was. We were walking behind people with gowns and stuff. We were waiting in line. It was in Portland, so it was at the Rose Garden.
That's awesome. Okay. What do you love to create?
I feel like I haven't had that question framed that way. I think I like to create things that other people enjoy, but are still genuine to me. So I like stand-up because I'm literally telling stories that, you know, are at least based on something that's happened to me. And I like it because I get to immediately see whether people are enjoying it or not. And when they are, it's there and it's all this energy. And so I really like that. I also like when what I create can bring people together in a way that they normally wouldn't have otherwise. So like stand up, you're all laughing at one time. When I did the show in college, there wasn't a lot of things that connected campus. And that was one where people would actually, you know, show up from different parts of campus and watch. So it was cool to just have all these people who normally would not have been in a room together enjoying jokes about where they go to school. And it's like having that commonality. So I really enjoy that. I wish that I had like a higher artistic ability, but anytime I try to like get in like the angsty like art stuff, it winds up not being as true to me as just kind of like having fun and talking about who I am. like social commentary. I've tried and it's just like, I don't know. I'm not the person for it. Even though I'm passionate about some of those things, it's, I've tried to uplift other creative people in that instance. So yeah, I feel like just things that are true to me and, that bring people together and that I can see and enjoy the reaction they're having to what I'm doing.
What's a game you love to play?
I was really into video games and I did have a problem with being addicted to them. So I no longer allow myself to play them. I like board games and all that stuff, but I feel like the most interesting answer I could give is that in middle school, me and my friends were so into Modern Warfare 2 that we created a call sign that we got so good at this stupid game that people, like, we joined parties and people would have the call sign and know who we were because we would just dominate games that we were in together. And then, like, I played League of Legends and got into that, but it just, I don't know. I just, the culture is so toxic and like in those online communities. And I just like, I'd get up in the morning and be like, do I have time to play this game? What if I move this around? So I cut cold turkey. I don't play those anymore, but yeah, I'm big into all kinds of games. I enjoy them. I came from a game family.
Did you pick a game? A game you love to play? Was it Modern Warfare?
Oh, did I pick an answer? Yeah. That's the question. If I have to, I'll go with Settlers of Catan. I'll pick a board game.
Okay.
I really enjoy playing that game with people. I don't play it as much anymore, but I really liked it.
Okay, and last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
I'm curious why someone's reading my biography in 100 years.
We ran out of books.
I feel like I always really enjoy when I read biographies and they say something like they had a positive impact on the people around them. Like you hear so much from people where you're reading and they're toxic and they've done all this stuff and they're this kind of a thing. I hope that when you read it, people would be inspired by the things that they're reading about me rather than feeling like, sure, put my flaws in there and everything too, but that they're seeing like, oh, he did this thing and he loved it. Or he found meaning in this thing and it led to that. These are all very vague answers. But I feel like while reading it, I hope that they would feel inspired, I hope my life is inspiring, which maybe that's a little too overzealous of me, but I guess that's my answer.
Hey, it's your life, man.
Yeah. It's your party. Inspire if you want to. Like that. Good. Great. Hey, thank you so much, Sam. Sam Ellefson.
Yeah, you nailed it first time.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah. It's been a good hour. Back in the day we used to say, well, where can we catch you next? Is there a catch you next? You're doing some video series, right?
That won't be out for a while. We're making a web series that I'll probably be releasing like not until next year.
Okay.
You can keep an eye for that. I have a YouTube that sometimes I'll like post like vlogs about like what it's like to be a 24-year-old amateur comedian and just like talking about what I'm experiencing as I am. So if you just look up Sam Ellefson on YouTube, and then I do have a few shows. On Friday, I'm at the Lo-Fi in Seattle. So if you're around, I think they've almost sold out to the capacity they can have. But it should be fun. It'll be the first time I've been like booked on a show in 14 or 15 months. So,
wow.
Yeah.
We'll catch it. We'll check it. We'll check you out. Rising star, Sam Ellefson. Black and a half. Join us. Live long and prosper.